How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yeah, welcome to the Monday Morning Recap, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. Get off the couch and get into the action today with my Bookie.com. Obviously, you know why I'm excited today. I think it was the second biggest win in Drinking Bros sports history. $23,000 over the weekend. Didn't miss one single bet. That was unbelievable, dude. It was one of those things where you looked at the college thing when I got up that morning and I was like, man, I feel like I've seen these games. I know these teams. And it felt pretty fucking easy to me. And then they all came true. But man, to go the 7-point parlay, or 7-point teaser, 13-point teaser, the parlay, the straight money lines, straight up on all the games with the points and everything else. God damn, what a fucking weekend. What a fucking weekend. And then the madness starts, right? I think we all knew it was going to happen once Clemson won and they beat the Ponies. Man, I...
All right, Ponies.
Well, they made it. You called it. I did not think they deserved it. The weird thing is, by the time it got to that game... again, at the weekends in our neighborhood, it's kids get together so adults can actually watch the game downstairs. Kids play and destroy the house and all that other fun stuff. We had the double picture going of Oregon versus Penn State. And then we had on the other one was SMU Clemson. It was such a blowout that everybody was like, hey, that's the most exciting game. Let's just put that on the big screen.
Yeah.
And so we went with that. I didn't even know until hours later that Clemson had to come back and kick a 57-yard field goal at the buzzer to win.
Oh man, yeah, SMU really boned themselves with some bad tackling on that field goal or on that kickoff after they scored a touchdown with like 20, 30 seconds left or something like that.
So forgive me, I turned it off at 24-3.
Yeah,
and even in the, I think it was the going into the fourth quarter, it was 31-14.
They were down 17 in the fourth.
Yeah,
quarter.
I was gonna say so. I was like, well, all right, well, we're done, and SMU would look like shit all game. So I didn't expect anything. How did they come back?
Dude, SMU can sling it. SMU has an incredible offense. I think they got a horrible matchup as far as for themselves against Penn State round one. We'll get to that. I don't necessarily expect a lot. But yeah, dude, SMU can just sling it. A, Clemson's a flawed team.
Yes.
And B, SMU has a high-powered offense. So at the 17 points in a quarter, nothing for them. And SMU is not like terrible on defense either, so they can get stops. They're not amazing, like they're not a great defensive team, but they can step up and get stops.
SMU doesn't belong anywhere near the CFP.
I don't think so
either. They got fucked up. Clemson took their foot off the gas. Otherwise, it would have been a 48-20 game or something like that. They shouldn't be in this.
Who would you rather have?
I agree.
Alabama?
Alabama, Ole Miss, South Carolina. Any of those teams would be better than this.
Yes.
South Carolina for the vibes, for sure.
Yeah.
South Carolina for the same reason that I would like to see Arizona State in, right? Which they won their conference, so good for them. But that to me is the same team. SMU is not good at
all. Bama lost to Oklahoma and
got blown out by Oklahoma.
Yeah. Blown out. 24-3.
I don't care about that. Yeah. I don't care about
what was weird about losing to Oklahoma is that they never had their foot on the gas.
No.
Alabama.
Never got off the bus.
No, they sure didn't. They didn't even show up in that game.
Yeah.
But if you're looking at the numbers, I'd say Ole Miss. I mean, just based on what it was and the strength of schedule and everything else, because I, you know, watched the show just like everybody else. And, man, they've got a point of, like, why are you going to schedule tough teams if this is what's going to happen?
Right. And if you're going to punish a team for losing their conference championship, like...
Then don't have conference
championship. Then don't have a conference championship.
Also, if you want to ask a team about getting punished, a team did get punished for not having a tough schedule. Army. Army didn't even fucking sniff the playoff because they played one real team.
Well, they got blown out, yeah.
Butt-fucked by them.
But so did Indiana.
I mean, Indiana still plays in a major conference.
But they didn't play one ranked team.
I get that, but I don't think the biggest...
Yeah, except for Ohio
and
State.
That's going to be the result. You're going to see more and more Indiana-like schedules from the Blue Bloods now. Michigan, Ohio State, Oregon, Alabama, LSU, should they get corrected. All those teams will not schedule any...
It was an anomaly, though.
Any of those teams who schedule any good out-of-conference team is fucking stupid.
And that's what Alabama said last night and today.
Indiana had the anomaly because they had nobody on their actual conference schedule.
It doesn't matter. All you have to do is win the games you play.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you play tough teams and lose, even though you took a chance and it probably made your team better, that's a mistake in this rule set.
But the committee, though, is independent each year. It's like a different group, right? So, like, they kind of have different criteria.
I think there's, like, guidelines that are rough the same, but yeah. The criteria might
They're never consistent.
But the thing is, like, that's a nonsensical complaint on any Alabama fan's part because you didn't lose non-conference games. You lost conference games.
It's not that.
So, and it's impossible to just a point real quick. It's impossible for an SEC team to play Texas got like a weird thing where they didn't play any ranked teams all year, basically, except for A&M at the end, who's now not ranked, but that should count as a ranked game.
But sort of. And so I'll go back to what Saban said, and then I think it was Greg McElroy. I know they're Bama homers, but they're right, in my opinion, in this. They've been scheduling monster games, and there are years in advance because the games are so big. Mm-hmm. So for Alabama, they currently have a home-and-home scheduled with Ohio State. And I believe it's week one that is coming up.
I would end that immediately. Schools should say no to that.
And they might. And take it Texas. Texas has a home and home next year. Opening game of the season with Ohio State. So they're at Ohio State in the shoe for Archie's first start. That's a very, very tough game for a kid that's going to have his first official start in a big time program and everything else and all the pressures on him. Then Ohio State would do the same thing because they got to come down to Texas the following year. They've got games scheduled out of non-cons until 2030 to 2032 in some instances. Texas, for example. Texas had this Michigan series. We didn't know Michigan was going to be this bad this year. Mm-hmm. And then they ended up being bad. However, that game on the schedule was a fucking monster to begin with. And we were there because of it and ended up being a dud. Just because Michigan wasn't good this year, but still, what is the point of a Texas scheduling a Michigan out of
conference? There is no point at this point, and it's not like, to be honest, I don't think it would have had any real effect this year. It's not about the teams that got bumped because of that, because they didn't lose big out of conference games. It's about the teams who got in. Notre Dame doesn't belong there. Like, they're probably good enough. But we have no fucking clue.
They do belong.
They belong.
That is a statement without any underlying facts, right?
Who did they beat?
USC.
Yeah, I mean, that's their best win. Barely pulled it off against USC. They had to come back and win by three.
That is.
But it's a 6-16.
Opponents.
I guess
There's no transitive poverty.
Who the fuck is Penn State beating?
Nobody.
Nobody.
Yeah.
And so is Penn State out?
No.
Like, should Penn State be out?
Should they be in?
Their best win's Illinois.
Exactly.
Right.
They were struggling. They should have lost the fucking Bowling Green.
Right.
There is a mathematical way to do this that makes sense.
Next year we're going to 14 teams.
And this isn't it. Oh, and then they'll go to 16, and then this will keep going to 24.
We should.
No, we shouldn't.
It's a
playoff. I'm fine.
It's awesome. This is great. The town's being spread out.
It's not awesome that we're having a conversation about fucking SMU in the playoff.
That's not
awesome.
It is not awesome.
Like, it would be awesome
if there are the other teams that are clearly better than them that are in and they're also in. I'm fine with that. Make it 16 and have those guys in. But the fact that I don't care about Alabama, but Ole Miss not being in is crazy. It's crazy. Miami not being in is fucking crazy.
Nope.
They've got a fucking dude that's going to be in the Heisman ceremony.
You know, how many top 25 wins?
I don't give a fuck about that. I don't care.
You can't talk about Miami's resume being sick and SMU's resume being lacking when they played in the same conference and Miami lost more games.
I'm not talking about SMU's resume being lacking. I don't care about that. Indiana and Penn State and Notre Dame, those three teams you could bump for having a shit resume. Texas as well.
Yep.
But Texas beat A&M. I think A&M's actually
and they
okay.
But two losses to Georgia.
Yeah. But
this is another year.
It's not about because Miami's in the ACC. Their schedule's always going to be dog shit,
yeah.
In my opinion. Right? Even Clemson, when they play Clemson, that would be their only good game. They would have Notre Dame. Or if they catched both of them in the same season, which they would be dumb to schedule that. But it's less about that because I think SMU on
Florida State's usually
the eye test watching SMU play, they're not good enough. Clearly, they're going to get fucking shit pumped in the first round.
The spread is 90 in that game against Penn State. And it's going to be freezing.
We'll see, right? I'm going to withhold.
Play the games.
Yeah, play the games because if they're usually, and this happened since the late 80s with the NCAA tournament, the basketball tournament. These patterns of upsets arise. It was the 5-12 for a long time. Yeah. We'll see what it is. It's not 5-12 anymore. What is it now?
It's 3-14.
It's 3-14. Yeah. So it maybe it migrates over time. We'll see this year. Like I think, fucking bracket, man.
It's exactly what we think it is.
I think shit's gonna happen.
Yeah. I think there's gonna be at least two upsets.
I mean, think about a couple of years ago though, when TCU made the playoff after losing the Big 12 championship, everyone's like, "Get them out of here!" And then they fucking beat Michigan.
We all I think agree on this. The auto bid makes sense. The auto buy is dumb. Arizona State under Arizona State and Boise State in no fucking world should have buys.
The conference championship should matter to some extent, though.
So yeah, you with the auto bid, I guess
you got to figure out.
You can
out.
Give them a spot in the top 12. You cannot give them a buy because this means your top four teams are Oregon. Which man, if you're an Oregon fan right now. God bless
I
you.
I would much rather be Penn State.
I would.
Fuck yeah,
yes,
you would.
You would.
Penn State has the clearest path to the semifinals of any team, and they haven't beaten anybody this year.
Anyone.
And they're not going to beat anybody to get there. SMU, they're going to shit pump. They're going to shit pump Boise.
Texas has a pretty good path.
Boise is fucking one-dimensional. They're not going to be able to beat Penn State. Penn State is not good enough to beat Georgia. We
that
know,
game's like, going to be closer than you think. Penn State, Boise. I think that's going to be a really good game.
It's not going to be close.
I would love it because I love Boise and it's fun. We've also got Penn State.
Penn State will just stack the box and fuck those dudes up. They can't throw the ball.
Oregon could have done that, right? They lost by 3 to Oregon.
Oregon's defense is not as good as Penn State's.
No.
How good is Penn State's fucking defense? They got torched.
Oregon's the best offensive team in the country.
I mean, that's a lot of points, even for the best. Like, for a defense that good, that's a ton of points.
But here's the thing. Oregon is the best team in the nation. Yes. Everyone else sucks. Like, yeah,
Penn State gave up how many to Ohio State?
But then
State?
Oregon also 21? Just gave up how many points to Penn State?
Both teams were, it was 35, 32, or whatever. It was
no, 34. Ohio State.
It was 32, 33.
Against Penn State?
No,
it's like 21-7 or
something. Yeah. It was like
2013.
This is wide.
2013, yeah.
Yeah,
this is wide.
The fact that Oregon gave up that many points to Penn State is out of control.
This is a wide open first round. I am telling you.
The second round is wide open.
Georgia just lost Carson Beck for the season.
Carson Beck's out with TJ.
Can we talk about that? Is that the younger guy seems like he's a better quarterback. Less polished because he doesn't have the experience. He's probably more prone to mistakes, but he's clearly a better quarterback.
This is what I think happened with that, is that Mike Bobo is a horrific offensive coordinator.
Everybody, I have so many texts from Georgia fans.
So
like, fuck this guy. Yeah. Get him out of here.
Awful. The amount of time, I mean, if they had just run the ball down Texas's throat, Texas did not have the line to deal with Georgia, but he kept doing these weird passes out to the side and trying to get Carson Beck. So when Carson Beck goes out, what happens? He has to simplify and start going a little bit more with what works, and the offense suddenly looks more efficient. I don't think it was the quarterback so much as it was Bobo didn't have a choice.
Just run the RPO on every fucking play.
What would have been
with that offensive line? Run the RPO every play.
It's
what would have been more interesting is if Texas beat Georgia. Georgia's a 3-loss team without their quarterback. Do they get kicked out?
It helps that they put Beck in for that last play. Oh, by the way, is their backup even going to play? Because he died.
No, he got
his bell rung, but he's got two weeks off now.
Yeah, he's got a bye, okay. So he's got 2 or 3 weeks off.
I don't think he can read anymore. But
well, he probably couldn't read.
Begin with.
Based on that interview after the game.
But, I mean, even in the wilder part to me was when he broke his arm and he had to come back in, right, in overtime. Mm. With a broken arm or whatever the fuck it was. He's got TJ, so he's gone for a very long time.
He had a torn UCL.
Yeah.
This ligament right here was torn. Otherwise, he wouldn't be getting TJ.
For a year and a half.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
you can't throw the ball in any way.
No.
For 18 months.
You know, on the 4-yard line then, with a guy with a broken arm, he's doing one thing.
And they still couldn't stop
it. He is handing the ball off, and they just ran it in unstoppable for 4 yards.
And you look at that, and you wonder how the fuck they weren't doing that. There was even a possession. Was that in overtime? Because we were texting with Jake about it. It's overtime. Texas has been held to a field goal, and Bobo's just like, time to throw it.
Yeah.
Time to throw the ball.
No,
just mind-boggling shit. They're bailed out by penalties. And by the way, that Texas play calling in the overtime or whatever, like two fades.
I put this on Twitter during the game before it was even over. Sark equals Lane Kiffin. It's the same dude. It's the same guy. He is and will always
be the ceiling.
He is and always will be the ceiling on any team he's on, no matter how good they are. He fucking sucks.
I would be so pumped if I was a Texas fan, though, with Sark. Two straight playoffs.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, and who else is out there?
Right. Like, you going to do better, Texas? You thought you had better.
Yes, actually. They could with a better coach.
Tom Herman.
Last year they played in the Big 12.
No, they offered it to
Urban
Meyer.
Which was a fucking joke, right?
Yes,
and this year they had the easiest SEC schedule of all time. I'm telling you, it's Dabo Swinney all over again.
Yeah, I do think
he had two fucking perfect scenarios that he won in. This Texas team is fucked next year if they don't get rid of
it. It would be pretty sweet, though.
They play the same schedule next year, but reversed.
Oh, God.
So
really? Is that how they got him to come over?
I guess, man. I do agree with you that the bottom is going to fall out quickly once.
As soon as he has to play a fucking real. As soon as his shit games are like fucking Missouri and Kentucky and shit like that and not everybody else, they're going to get beat.
They beat the shit out of Kentucky.
They beat this year, but Kentucky usually is pretty good.
They missed Missouri, South Carolina, Alabama. They got Georgia and got wrecked by
Georgia. They didn't play Ole Miss. They didn't play anybody.
Nope. No LSU even.
Sucks. And I'm telling you, I don't know who calls the offensive plays for them. I assume it's Sark, actually.
I'm not sure.
But this play they run all the time, it's like their out play, is a timing play where they run a slant that's from the near side of the field on the hash mark all the way to the other side. It's a timing play where he just throws the ball to a spot.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is that?
It is Sark.
Yeah.
Sark calls the play.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Which we've said on the show many times and on outside. You are fucked that if is your a head mistake. Coach is calling
You don't
plays.
Want your head coach calling plays. Even Lane doesn't call plays.
No, why
doesn't.
Would you?
No.
Like, find a guy. And it's not that you aren't a good offensive mind, but your job is to manage the fucking team, man. And that's why I guarantee you, somebody that's doing both, that's why those little mistakes happen all the time, because you don't see the whole thing.
Yep.
I want my OC up in the fucking with binoculars up there or computer screens and seeing everything that's happening, seeing who's limping a little bit after plays, seeing who isn't shifting on the checkdowns the right way out of cover two and coming down on those checkdowns.
Probably have a better view of who they're subbing in and out on the other side.
Yeah, 100%.
Like,
I mean, you get a full view of the field, man. Jesus Christ.
Like, this is, that's
when,
bad.
When I'm on the ground shooting stuff, I'm not asking the guy next to me what he sees. I'm asking the ISR above my head at 30,000 feet.
Yeah.
What do you see?
It's true. Right? That's why I watch football only in all 22 cameras.
Yeah. You have to.
Those new fucking drone shots they're getting are dope as shit.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're fucking dope.
But as far as this first round is concerned, you've got Indiana at Notre Dame.
No
on that,
chance.
On that Friday
Give me the
night
Hoosiers.
Game. No
chance.
Robbery.
Give me the
no
Hoosiers. Chance. Dude, the Hoosiers are I'm telling you, this is going to be a wild
Notre Dame.
First round.
Notre Dame.
Unless Gene Hackman and fucking, who's the guy from Speed? What's his name? Dennis?
Oh, Hopper?
Hopper. Unless they both show up.
Well, they have to come back to life.
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
going to take Notre Dame in a big spot.
Yes. Against Indiana.
Interesting.
Against it's Indiana, interesting. I will. It is a home game.
Sort of. Word on the street is IU fan. I've talked to my IU alum buddies, and they said IU fan, everyone they know is buying tickets.
I'm sure.
And by the way, this is the same Notre Dame that Georgia sold out a couple of years
ago. Did you find Notre Dame to be like an intimidating crowd?
No.
I don't think it is. I don't think it's a tough place to play.
Man, us Catholics are soft.
It's not. How do you mean intimidating? I guess like
was it? I don't know. Loud was it?
It was loud. Yes.
But is it like walking into? I mean, what was it you
like,
or
here,
like,
here's no? So here's the difference. You walk into there knowing the history of it, so it feels like you're walking into Fenway or something like that. And then once you're in there. It's pretty fucking loud.
You've
However,
been to Michigan, you've been to Penn State.
Notre Dame was not doing that well. Look, the toughest environment, Oregon. Without a doubt, is Oregon. I was fucking deaf for days. Like, I've never had an experience like that. Penn State whiteout game, I've got it number two. Ohio State is up there. Michigan is up there, obviously. But
I'm telling you, Notre Dame ain't up there. And this is, for out of all the first round games, this is true for SMU to an extent too. But there's the extra fact of it being an in-state rivalry. Great, by the way, bracket made by the College Football Playoff. I love that this is a first
round
game.
Perhaps they knew what they were doing before the conference championship.
But this is a program defining game for Indiana. This is because even SMU has history, right? There's no history for Indiana.
None.
And it's against Big Brother in the state.
It's just it'll be the second time they played a ranked team this year, and like they look terrible against Ohio State. I think
Ohio State's favored to win the national championship.
Still,
it's them and Oregon.
Because if you're looking for an upset, because I'll go down. That spread is 7.5. SMU is 8.5. They're catching 8.5 against Penn State. I got Penn State. That's an easy one. Texas is getting 11 against. It's -11 against Clemson. There, I think that's a fucking blowout. The only game to look at that could be an upset, in my opinion, if you even want to call it that, is Tennessee Ohio State, because they don't have a line.
So I was gonna say, under normal circumstances, I would say Ohio State all day. But I just wonder, how injured is Ohio State?
They're not coming back. They're all out for the year, and the torn ACL, but their backups are out for the year. So
Tennessee's got dudes. It's not like they're playing.
Right.
Yeah.
So that to me is Tennessee, the only mystery, and it's because of the line.
You don't think it's because of injuries for Clemson? Klubnik's going to ball out against Texas?
No, dude. Because Texas's defense is very fucking good.
But it's like his hometown team. He wants to show out.
It's just the
it's a homecoming.
Maybe. We'll see how their line against Georgia's line earlier in the year, they just got fucking bullied. That's the worst I've ever seen Clemson look.
And seeing all these teams in real life, the size of the line of Texas and the size of the line of Georgia is almost identical, and that's where I think they'll struggle.
But why did Texas get bullied by Georgia?
Because Georgia's got fucking...
They're better. Their front seven is good.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that maybe Texas is... you've seen him in person. I haven't seen him in person, but I think Texas is a lot closer to Clemson than they are.
And Clemson game one is not Clemson now.
Do you know what my honest feeling on Texas is, though? Who did they play this year?
No one.
And so the two times they had to play somebody, they lost.
A&M one was a good win.
A&M was good, but I think Texas is a very poorly coached team. They are not motivated. Like, Tennessee was 10 for 18 on third down against Georgia, which I think has the best front seven every year, actually. Mm-hmm. Their secondary sucks, right? So if you can stop them if you can stop people from being able to get the ball out in time, which Spags does on third down on every play in the NFL, by the way, if you can stop that on a regular basis, doesn't matter who you're playing against, to be honest. Tennessee was able to go 10 for 18 on third down against Georgia with that line. I don't know how well their defense is going to perform against Ohio State, because they still got dudes. They can still run timing plays. They still, like,
if Ohio State changes their entire offense, yes.
Yeah, but they don't have to change their entire offense. Just narrow the playbook down to shit that actually works.
Well, throw the ball,
slants. Yeah. I mean, you can still run the ball a little bit, but quick slants and fucking screen plays. Run those on a regular basis.
Yeah.
At least once every fucking series.
There's a shot. It just depends on whether they'll be stubborn enough to do it. But looking at this right now, I take chalk. I take chalk for all these teams.
I don't think so.
At least two upsets. Two to three upsets.
But if you're looking at SMU versus Penn State, it's going to be 20 degrees there.
That's the game I like the least. I was checking state college weather. It wasn't as bad as that.
Keep an eye on it, because it'll change.
Ohio State at night is going to be fucking 25 degrees there. Like,
Tennessee's not a... I mean, Tennessee has a winner. Yeah. It's not... And Tennessee borders Ohio, doesn't it?
No.
It's Kentucky, right next to
Kentucky's
it.
I mean, it's Kentucky's above it.
But either way, like, they're in the same part of the country.
No. No, they're not.
They are absolutely. I mean, it's close enough. It's close enough.
You still got a state that goes in between them there. They don't play in 25 degree weather.
The only upset I see is Tennessee, Ohio State.
Same. If it's going to happen, it's going to be that game. The other ones seem like blowouts.
But then again, Indiana, Notre Dame, I don't really have a good sense of what's going to happen there.
Because
Notre Dame hasn't played anybody, and they also choke anytime a game is on, like, a big game.
And Cignetti always is a baller. They're going to want it. Look, Cignetti doesn't strike me as the type of coach, and I could be proven wrong here, and if I am proven wrong, then he is this type of coach. But he does not strike me as the type of coach that's going to let his team get fucked up in the only two big games they play.
I hope not. We will find out. He just signed a massive deal. We'll see. Either way, winner of that, Indiana, Notre Dame, then plays Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
without
Beck. Carson Beck, I don't see how they win. That kid looked... All right, the first drive he came in, after that was real fucking suspect. And I just don't see how you involve a new quarterback in 3 weeks and have
3 weeks is a long time. 3 weeks is training camp.
Yeah, but you got to
get training camp is 4 weeks.
Timing with receivers and all that other shit. He's a running quarterback.
If you can't do that in 3 weeks, then you don't belong in the program.
Honestly, they should pray that he's not able to do it in 3 weeks. Yeah, if Bubba runs the fucking ball. Yeah. But yeah, that's a concern, certainly. But also, like, I don't think Georgia is offensively very well coached right now. So, I mean, this was the first game where I, like, really honed in on watching Georgia. I had watched them before, but I wasn't necessarily, like, invested in the game. And, like, actually watching, I was just, like, the play calls were baffling.
Yes. They have been for a long time. But the reason I'm saying this is, let's say it is Notre Dame and I'm correct, and then they play Georgia. Mm-hmm. Because Georgia doesn't have a quarterback and everything else, I think that leaves that game wide open. So if you're looking for a wide open game, that one to me, because of the unknowns there, Penn State will then probably play Boise State after that.
Who's getting their entire offensive line back?
Who is?
Boise. Mm. They've been playing without a lot of their guys on the line.
Gotcha.
So Gente is going to be 100% healthy. Dude, I don't know. I think they could knock off Penn State.
I do not.
Penn State's beaten no one. No one.
Have they beaten anyone as good as Boise? That's a serious question. Like, what's Penn State's best win?
It's Illinois.
Okay, so probably not then. Boise will be the best team Penn State has played since Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And then next up, here's where Oregon just gets absolutely fucked. Absolutely fucked. Let's say it's Ohio State, then that's a rematch. Playing a team tough is always twice is always fucking hard no matter what. Totally different defensive scheme there. Should they get through? That's a very tough game for Oregon. Oregon probably still wins. But then after that, more than likely they'll play Texas, which fucking sucks.
Not so fast, my friend.
Yeah, I think
you think Arizona State is going to beat Texas?
Vibes. Let's go.
I don't love Texas winning two games in
Scataboo
a row.
Just like running all up on their defense. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Arizona State. I'm just going with vibes. Why
dude,
not?
I got no faith in Texas. I honestly like,
I have faith in Texas against Clemson and Arizona State.
Man, I don't know. I don't know. That's exciting. It's exciting.
I really feel like Sark is a loser. I'm not kidding.
I know.
You have to take these things in their totality. We thought Dabo was a good coach. He's proven he's not. He's proven that there were two blips where he had generational quarterbacks and he won because of it. And every other year, like, and we gave all this credit to every other part of the team, to his coaching, to the defense and all that shit. But it's proven over time to not be true. And I don't know that Texas has proven anything. Last year, what did they do? They won a bad conference, and when it came time to play big boys, they got smashed.
Did you see what the computer simulation today was on ESPN? Mm. Their pick for the national championship? It was Penn State beating Ohio State for the national championship.
It was they simulated college football 25.
Yeah, ESPN.
EA.
I mean, yeah, I could see that happen because Penn State can beat Boise.
Penn State has the easiest path I've ever seen in my
and
life.
And if Georgia limps in and their quarterback's all fucked up, because even with a fucked up quarterback, they can beat the winner of Indiana Notre Dame. But can they beat Penn State playing good defense? I don't think so. Without
I don't either.
It's going to be fun. It's wide open.
And then you've got Penn State in the championship, and they don't even belong in the fucking playoff, probably.
No.
It's crazy.
Win the games, baby.
Yeah, but you got to win the games you play, and that's why people are going to start scheduling softer fucking games.
Yeah, and Oregon's undefeated. They would have been better off losing that game, getting this 5 seed, and playing these fucking weak-ass teams.
People say that it's bad for college football. Maybe it is. The difference between Alabama playing fucking Mercer and playing Vanderbilt in a season is that, or playing Mercer and playing Ohio State to open the season, that first game that doesn't even fucking matter in the rankings, by the way, because it's so early and it's out of conference, it doesn't fucking matter. Is that better than having all the teams seeded correctly in a playoff and really duking it out? I don't think so. I think getting to the playoff in the right position is probably more important. And by the way, the teams that have set records winning games in a season, like that Patriots team and that fucking Warriors team and shit, I bet they wish they had that back, don't you? Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They also, like, if the teams are good enough, they're going to play Ohio State anyway. So,
yeah,
might as well get it done early.
No.
Well, the other thing, too, is so with the scheduling thing, again, like, I don't know what Saban's talking about. Like, don't make hard schedules because it was the SEC schedule that did, and they have to play that hard schedule every year. But Okay, you might see still Ohio State and Bama and the schools that don't need to prove anything. You might see them schedule less other big teams, right? But what you're going to see a lot more of is all the big giant middle of college football schedule lots and lots of those games, especially the non-SEC teams who have, because like South Carolina doesn't really have a lot to prove if they are a two-loss SEC team, right?
Right.
Like that's going to be, and that is a total middle-class program, like Missouri or a lot of other. They don't need to prove anything. But there's going to be other schools in the Big Ten and the Big 12, say Minnesota or UCF or something like that.
BYU.
Yeah, you're going to need good out-of-conference games, maybe against other middle-tier teams, because then what do you say if, you know, Penn State is vying for a playoff spot, but they dropped a random game to Minnesota in conference, and then they're up against a BYU team that fucking beat that Minnesota team in a non-con game a month earlier. Now you have head-to-head resume comparisons. So there's going to be a ton of, it's a good thing for those schools to schedule.
The meaty part of the bell curve.
Yeah.
I don't know. SMU doesn't benefit in any way from having that BYU loss on their record. And Indiana made the right move by not playing anybody good. They wouldn't be in this playoff if they played anybody good outside of their conference.
Well, they
would have lost that game.
Yeah.
Who?
Indiana. SMU? Indiana would have. Oh. If Indiana had played a quality team outside of their conference, they would have lost and they would not be in this playoff.
Yeah, they got extremely lucky with their schedule and the whole year and all of that shit. And now they're playing their second-ranked team, which is, again, why I have Notre Dame winning this game.
But we definitely should consider that. That should be, when I say we, I mean not we. Pete, the schedulers and the committee should consider that. How do we set this whole system up such that teams play like hard? Do we get the best matchups during the season and in the playoffs, right? Like motivate teams to do it on their own. Because if you're not, these conferences are too strong. You're not going to be able to reach down into there and force them to schedule games. Because they'll tell you to go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Right? And the other part too is, we'll go back to what we said, I think it was just 3 months ago, this pitch was the SEC met with the Big Ten and they said, hey, let's strong arm them and guarantee 4 slots apiece for these playoffs going for the remainder of this. So this bullshit doesn't happen. And yeah, they were right. And this is what's going to happen, because I would love to see a South Carolina in this. I would love to see an Ole Miss in this, and maybe a Bama. So if we're going to do it, if you're going to stick to this format, which we are because it's money and everything else, they're not going to fucking change it. I personally don't agree with this format at all, and I hate it. I don't even know.
You'll like it better next year.
Who's your second best team behind Oregon this year?
It was Georgia, but now their quarterback's hurt. I think Georgia was unquestionably the second best team in the country. Moving forward, who knows without the quarterback. But Georgia has a good resume. Like, honestly, they only have 2 losses. They're the SEC champions. They beat what are their wins?
Texas twice.
Tennessee, Texas twice.
Beat Clemson.
They beat Clemson. Yeah, they've beaten 3 playoff teams. Has anyone else even played 3 playoff teams?
It's Georgia.
Ohio State.
Ohio State has. Yep. And Ohio State went 2-1 in those games, which is great.
Yep.
And Georgia's losses are at Alabama and at Ole Miss.
Yep.
Like, totally understandable losses.
Yeah. I agree with you. If you would have put Oregon and Georgia in this, or I think I said it last week, the winner of the Texas-Georgia game, which was Georgia now, that we have the answer. That's it.
That would have been the BCS.
Why do you want to go back to the BCS?
Because I don't think these teams are good enough, and I think we're going to see it in the first round. I think it's going to be all chalk.
Ohio State's got a very real chance of winning the national championship this year.
Still. I do not think so because of the injury. Same with Georgia. You just can't replace.
I mean, they're going to get them. They're going to get Tennessee in the first round, which is a weak defense. So that's a winnable game. Oregon, not sure about that one.
Me neither. Not without an offensive line, and then Georgia without Beck is going to be next to impossible to get a kid ready in 3 weeks.
I really don't think so.
I think he's 18.
I don't know. He's a junior, I think, isn't he?
Is he?
The backup's usually not.
You just have to reset your brain, yeah, right? With these super conferences like the Big Ten, the SEC. Yeah, you lost a game or two, but like, dude, that's just going to be football now.
Yeah,
you're not going to go undefeated every year.
I tend to agree with Bob. I think Georgia's play calling is really bad, and limiting that guy actually does them a favor. Less is more in that circumstance, because they've got the best offensive line in the country.
Yeah.
Why are you throwing the fucking ball down the field like that? Like, bait them in. Just take Bill Belichick's fucking play call from any season other than the Randy Moss season. Take those and script your first 20 plays and just do that. Or, I guarantee you will score a couple touchdowns.
You know who Kirby Smart worked for forever? Nick Saban. Yeah. When Nick Saban had Derrick Henry and Ingram and stuff like that, when Nick Saban was just running the ball down the throat, Kirby needs to be like, look at this tape from 2009. This is what we're fucking doing.
Because it still works. And if you notice...
it worked against Texas when they actually fucking did it.
Yeah.
And by the way, Texas, regardless of not having played, they've got a good defense. That's a good defensive team. And they have good cornerbacks too, which Georgia doesn't have. And Georgia was still able to handle them just by whenever they decided to play that game.
Well, the beauty of what Kirby Smart did, and this is something that Ohio State did earlier in the year when they had injuries as well, is they ran the entire clock out every possession. So they knew, hey, our quarterback's got a broken arm. Let's bring it down to 1 second. That final drive for Georgia was 9 fucking minutes, dude. And you couldn't stop it. A 40-second play clock, by the way, is also too long in college football.
By the way, that shit works at every level. The Chargers did it to the when the Chargers swarmed the Chiefs last night in the middle of that game. That's exactly what they did.
Still lost.
And yeah, they still lost. It's the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a fucking 12th guy on the field every time.
It's nuts, dude. But it's nuts. We'll get to it later.
It is like, just keep their defense on the field as long as you fucking can. Run the goddamn ball.
Doesn't matter how good your defense is. If they're out there for 32 minutes, they're fucked.
Yeah.
That's just pretty much how it is.
And you only need to gain, you tell me, with that offensive line, you can't gain 3.5 yards of play.
Can I shout out my conference for a minute? Did you see the MVP trophy for the Big 12 player of the game?
No.
It's a WWF belt.
Oh, nice.
Oh, that's
so
right.
Scataboo has like the fucking Big
I think that should be all
belt.
Awards. All MVP, offensive, defensive player of the year, rookie of the year, all belts. That shit should be belts.
Yeah, I agree.
Although
that was
our,
awesome.
Our commissioner might get tied up with some Diddy allegations if you...
Really?
He's a Rockefeller guy.
No shit. Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Also, congratulations to you guys. You got Scott Frost back?
Yeah, our sweet, sweet boy.
Yeah, he's back, dude. Back again, dude.
Go ahead, Rob.
After the national championship.
Talk about the quote Scott Frost said.
After the national championship.
What did he say?
Scott Frost had the best accidental backhanded compliment.
It was great.
Of UCF. It's essentially like telling a woman, like a toast at a wedding, to be like, you shouldn't marry for looks, you should marry for love. Scott Frost said, when you're climbing the ladder of success in life, sometimes they forget to tell you to stop when you're happy. And that's why.
Sorry, he essentially quoted The Office and was like, the good times, they don't tell you when you're in them.
No.
Smash wrote a song about that.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, that is definitely like telling a girl she has a great personality.
Yep.
Whatever, he's back.
The important
he's building us up.
The important thing is he loves you.
He does love us.
And by the way, a very winnable conference every single year.
Yeah. It's a great job.
Not, like you can get into the UCFP like at least 2 out of every 3 years.
Flip a coin in that conference. Yeah. You never know.
The Big 12 3 weeks ago was still totally on the table to be a two-bid league. It wasn't until the way things just shook out the way they did.
Mm. Yeah. Any other year, this would be Oregon, and this is an easy one. Now it's
two Pac-12 teams won their new conference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Arizona State story is really fucking cool because of how young that guy is, and that's a fun one.
Jordan Tyson, though, out the rest of the year. They're number one receiver. However, I guess you can just bring in your red shirts for the playoffs. The games don't matter.
As long as they don't play six games.
No, correct. It doesn't go against it. So, like, they brought in some fucking stud that transferred from Penn State. He caught, like, he had an incredible catch. And they're like, oh, yeah, dude, he just came off his red shirt because – both the championship game and the playoffs don't count against
it. Yep.
So that's cool.
So it's the regular season, and then you can go bombs away there.
Nice.
We got some sponsors here real quick, and then we'll flip on over to the NFL. As always, brought to you by MyBookie.com. Promo code Drinking Bros doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. They were not happy this weekend, I'm sure. All the listeners took those picks, and holy shit, guys. I mean, that was just an absolute fucking record breaker, dude. I couldn't believe it. Blast of a weekend. If you lost, though, there is rakebacks. Bob, why don't you tell them about it?
Yeah, look, if you have a bad weekend and you're a regular MyBookie player, you're part of the MyBookie Plus reward system. It doesn't cost anything. Don't even have to sign up. Your just account qualifies after a while. You get rakebacks. They'll toss you a little cash back to say, sorry for the rough weekend. We know you don't feel alive without some money in the game. So here you go. Put your money down. And look, if you lost on college football this weekend, do just a crazy fucking parlay for the first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a blast. And I would tease some of these down because the spreads are really high for all of those first round games. And I think that's what I'll be doing. And obviously, I did that on Saturday as well. You guys saw those bets in Drinker Bros Sports. They had teasers for 13. So if you bet four teams, it's a 13, go all the way up to a 13-point teaser. And some of these, I did a 7-point teaser. And then you can also fuck with the half of points either way and then do that in a parlay as well. And I know I did 7 different cards and then they all hit. But that's the beauty of my bookie is you can actually manipulate the numbers to where the other team could possibly win. But guess what? You got too many points on the board. I did it last night with the Chiefs. I jacked up the Chargers to plus 11.5 there. Brought that over way down, and that hit as well. So they have all those options. Best in the biz. What are the national championship odds right now on my bookie?
Believe you can get Boise over there. 60-1.
Think so, right?
Yeah.
Did you sprinkle that at all?
I did. I put $50 on it.
Let's see what we got here. NCAA $50
to win $3,000.
And then, all right, national championship odds to win. No, Georgia is still favored.
Georgia
plus 350. All right. Plus 350 for Georgia is 3.5 to 1. Oregon is 3.5 to 1. Texas is essentially 4 to 1 there. And then Ohio State is 4th at 4.5 to 1.
Hmm.
If you're looking at sprinkle, Penn State at plus 7-10.
Even though I
7-1?
Even though I like Indiana to win the game, like in my heart, 10 to 1 odds for Notre Dame is pretty fucking solid.
Given their draw, absolutely. Because if they're going to go up against Georgia in that second round with no quarterback, it's going to be tough sledding just scoring in that game at all.
Still got my season long Oregon ticket.
Yeah, what did you get the Oregon bet at?
Like 7-1.
Oh, 7-1? Yeah. Okay. Are you going to hedge then and go with one of these other teams?
I did with Boise on the other side of the bracket.
Boise isn't listed here. It was 60-1. Oh, I don't see it anymore.
They must have taken off the board for a minute.
Getting healthy.
I guess. They're trying to figure out who's getting healthy or not. Either way, all of this is in there. Tons of stuff to bet on. NFL got a big game tonight, which we'll get to in a second. And, best in the biz. Head over to mybookie.com. Promo code DRINKINGBROS doubles that first deposit all the way up to $1,000. If you want tickets to any of these games, you can go to DRINKINGBROSTICKETS.com. NFL is super cheap right now, and a lot of people are taking their families. It's great. Take them over the holidays. There's some NHL games that are great that are also super cheap. These playoff games, I'm assuming, will be pricey. However, don't look at the ticket prices now on these simply because they haven't given them out to the students or the alumni or anything else. So they'll start to flood the market here in the next, give it 5 or 6 days, but I wouldn't do it now. Just out of curiosity, what are they selling for here? Not terrible right now, but wait. Give this 5 or 6 days, and you're going to get better deals heading up towards the game. That's my recommendation to you on that one. And then last but not least, if you're going to any of these games and want to tailgate, hardafseltzer.com is the store locators live. Shit, almost all of these home games, I think we're in. So Ohio State, yes, boom, you can go there. Grab a 12-pack. Texas, we're in there. Boom, have fun. What are the other ones? Indiana. Actually, we're not in Indiana. That's weird. But if you're coming over from Illinois, grab those fucking 6 packs of the 12-ounce orange there and have fun. The store locator is up. It is rocking. The new states will upload shortly as far as I know Michigan's on there. Idaho will be updated on Monday or Tuesday. And then so will Oregon as well. It takes about 60 days to get into the system and those will be populated. Oregon's in it. So we got everything over there. And if you want to invest in the company, head on over to wefunder.com/hardafseltzer today. 30% of it is open up to you guys, our listeners, to join and invest the company. That way, if you're out there drinking it, tagging it, giving people 12 packs over the holidays, at least you can say, hey, I own the fucking company and drink up, Johnny. We'd love to have it. All right, we'll switch on over to the NFL here. Chiefs won yet again last night. My God, man. It felt like the entire stadium was laughing. I was talking to Derek Wolfe last night. We were laughing. This has all been a big joke. I feel like we're in on some weird hoax for the year in the Chiefs, and this is just going to keep happening at this point.
They're not good.
They're great.
They're great. They're so good that they don't even have to play until they actually want to.
We'll see. The last play of the game. I've brought this up before, but each of the last four seasons, the team that led the league in single score game wins was bounced in the first round of the playoffs.
But the Chiefs should not exist in that category. They're in a category of their own.
Why? They're doing the same thing that others have done.
They're going for the third straight title, which no one has ever done.
This is also bad for you. The Bills lost. Bad.
Correct.
So last game against Denver, Chiefs they might have had everything locked up. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to sit out that game. I leave it up to Josh Allen, dude. It's all the fucking losers. It's all the fucking losers.
Who's
dude.
Kansas City's backup at this point?
Let me see who their backup could QB is.
Yeah, I'm getting the tattoo. Like, there's no way around this. I'm getting it.
You're getting the tattoo.
We'll know
because
after.
That loser, Josh Allen.
It's Carson Wentz, by the way.
Ooh.
He's got something to prove.
Yeah, maybe. But no, Josh Allen put up like 42 points. How's that on him?
They lost.
He scored three touchdowns on the ground and three touchdowns in the air.
They lost.
It's like the first NFL player to ever do that.
When I actually needed him to win a game, he let me down yet again.
I believe that's on the defense.
Well, whatever it is up there in Buffalo, that just costs you your bye. So now the Chiefs are going to get that bye.
Allen's now I think he's minus 450 to win the MVP.
And he should be.
Yeah.
He should be, but that should worry you. A 44 to 42 game should worry you.
Fuck. When's the last time the Chiefs scored that many points, though?
When they had to.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it is. Look at the. Do you remember the first game of the year, Delco, against the Ravens?
The Chiefs' high total this year is 30.
Yeah.
It's not good.
And because they only play when they want. They only play when they want. They're a selfish, defensive team.
I mean,
lazy football team.
The Chiefs, honestly, have kind of a rough schedule down the stretch. They might not. The Broncos game might not matter, I guess. But, like, the Browns, not easy. Texans are playing for something. And the Steelers are playing for something as well. So,
That's true.
Steelers game, both Browns and Steelers are road games. So
Jameis can bite you.
Yeah.
You never know.
It's not over. And also, yeah, I don't know. You never know.
I mean, look, this is a joke, dude. What the Chiefs are doing is insulting.
Scripted.
No, you can just see the look in their eyes. They don't care until the last possession. And then they just win.
No, I've never seen anything like it.
Every single week.
It's the luxury of having a really good defense.
But you know what? I kind of think the Patriots were like that too, because there's a reason you remember so many Brady comeback drives, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to come back? Why do you have to come back?
Yep.
Because the game was close, because it's always fucking close. I mean, goddamn, dude. How many of those fucking Patriots Super Bowls were blowouts? None of them, right?
Well, think of it this way. So Belichick is autistic as shit, and he's going to look at he's going to look at data in a way that other people won't, because it's very practical.
Interviewing with North Carolina, by the way.
Yeah. And he said, well, his response to that is, we'll see.
His request, too, was to have his son be the coach in waiting.
Mm. But here's what we know about the NFL. The vast majority of games, like 70%+ of games, are decided by 4 or less points, I think, right? It's 4 or less. It's not even a touchdown. It's 4 or less. So if you know that's going to be the game, then the smart move to minimize risk is to play a hard-nosed, grind-it-out kind of game, right? One, you keep their defense on the field longer, but two, and I think this is way more important strategically, and it's why Harbaugh's been successful in the NFL as well, you minimize risk. If you have a high-powered offense on the other side of the field, the less they have the ball, the better, right? So instead of going out there and trying to run the score up and score on your own, try to control the clock. Belichick did it for 20 years successfully and won 6 titles doing it. It's smart.
Yeah.
That's the way you should be playing football.
And the Chiefs are going
to
win the
Super
Bowl.
They're doing it this year on purpose. I don't think, like, to your point, Bob, if my strategy is to win by one and I can control the game all the way like that, and it's the middle of the fourth quarter, the game's tied, or I'm up 3 points and the other team is driving for a touchdown, I don't fucking care. That doesn't matter to me. You know what I should try to do is put enough defensive pressure on them to make them take enough time where there's only 2 to 3 minutes left on the clock when I get the ball back. That should be your goal. And you can win every fucking game, which is exactly what Kansas City's doing this year. And by the way, talk about great coaches. doesn't get much better than Andy Reid. It doesn't get any better than him right now in the NFL. He's the best.
He is, but they're going to win the Super Bowl, and there's nothing we can do about it.
But why is he the best? Because he had to fail.
Yeah, a lot with the Eagles.
So Philadelphia.
Over and over and over
the again. Eagles were to yeah. Andy Reid what the Cleveland Browns were to Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Okay.
But way more.
So Andy Reid figured out that sometimes you do need to climb higher on the ladder to find happiness.
You think this... The city of Kansas City is higher than Philadelphia.
I don't think you should, if you're a professional football coach or a competitor of any sort, that happiness should be your end state. How about that, Scott?
Are you worried about the Eagles?
No.
And Jalen Hurts?
No.
Okay.
Dude, we're incredible.
No, because to be honest, Sirianni's doing exactly the same thing.
Bryce Young's also, he's like on this like revenge tour right now. The Panthers are tough. They're a tough out. Mm.
Jalen Hurts had 100 yards passing.
It doesn't matter. We hand the ball off to
against the
Saquon.
What was the time of possession for the Eagles?
Probably they run the ball a lot.
We are like one of the worst first quarter teams in the league. I believe we might actually be the worst first quarter.
Yeah, you guys have only scored once, I think.
Carolina had 33 and a half minutes, and the Eagles had 26 and a half.
Mm.
We also don't appreciate what we have. I know we call, and I'm guilty of this too, Sirianni like an airhead and a total fucking moron. But I believe his record since taking over for the Eagles is like 45-19.
Mm. Yeah, if he just gets out of the way.
Like, he wins.
He wins.
Just don't get involved, dude. Which is, by the way, it's like having Michael Scott for a football coach. Just get the fuck out of the way. Go do goofy shit. Shave your head.
Yep.
Leave us out of it.
You know, Michael Scott would deliver every now and then.
They were the best performing branch. Now, yeah, obviously, that's fake.
Yeah.
And this is reality, but the parallels are very obvious.
Might trigger you here, but it's a similar situation with like Brian Snicker, right? It's like, just make fewer decisions.
He should not be alive.
He shouldn't be a coach.
No. Nope.
His record's insane.
I know. Yeah, his record's insane because he's gifted a fucking great roster every single year.
Yep.
Which, by the way, Alex Anthopoulos has got to fucking get the fuck out of here, man. Or I don't know. I might have to find a new team to be a fan.
Honeymoon's over.
And the fucking in 2024 with the salaries that are going on in Major League Baseball and the fact that the Braves are a publicly traded company through Liberty Media, the fact that you can't find some pocket change to buy real athletes to come play there instead of nickeling and diming one of the oldest and most successful franchises in Major League Baseball history. Then fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to try, why should I care?
I mean, the Red Sox are the same way right now.
Yeah.
They are cheap as hell.
We'll get to Major League after this. So, Lions, by the way, ended up winning. He was down. Sorry. Jared Goff was down on that play. Like, I don't know how they missed that.
What are you talking about?
That fourth down handoff.
No one touched him.
You can't put your knee on the ground. So, that's it.
You can if you fall.
No. You can't. A quarterback cannot put his knee down. And that's it.
I think intent would come into play there.
Yeah.
Certainly.
Nope. Quarterback can't put his knee down in the backfield.
I don't think they missed that call.
They did.
So if
they did the freeze frame and they were like, hey, he was down.
If there's a bad snap and he bends down on a knee to grab the ball and stands back up, that can't be a dead play. That's stupid.
It's not. You can throw the ball after that.
That would be dumb.
No.
Maybe it's a rule.
Once a quarterback's knee
dumb.
Goes down, that's it. So that. He got praised for it, for going for it, which is fine. But, I mean, every replay and then every Packers fan fucking took the screenshot of that picture and put it up on thing. And I was like, that's what I saw, too.
That's like a gimmicky. That's dumb, though. Like, it didn't affect the play. He didn't benefit
from. They won the game.
No. I'm saying he didn't benefit from having a knee down. He went down to get the ball so he could run it. That's goofy.
He handed off the ball with his knee down. You're not allowed to do it.
The Packers have no gripe. You're going to make the playoffs and get bounced pretty early.
Yeah,
that's what you are.
To be fair, I don't know that the Lions make it too far, and it's not because
injuries.
Yeah, it's just the defense. They've got 13 defensive players on the IR. Yep. That's more than you have defensive players.
Yeah,
but they're playing like kind of a. They're not winning like they used to.
No,
I guess.
I mean, so we'll see. These are getting close now, and you're giving a lot of points
up.
31 points.
The game on the field.
You do, man, but people get hurt, dude, and you can't overcome these injuries. Like, it happens.
Yeah, this Bills game is going to be interesting to see how they play against a competent offense, which the Bills are pretty more or less a competent offense now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that's going to be that telling because you don't play Josh Allen like you would a normal quarterback. So the fact that your defensive ends are all out, that probably isn't that big of a deal against him. I mean, because mostly your defensive ends against Josh Allen to keep him contained in the pocket.
Well, they won't face each other unless it was the Super Bowl anyway, so it doesn't really matter. I think against the Eagles is where they come into some trouble.
Yeah, listen, if the Lions want to lose a couple games, that'd be cool.
No, they're playing the Bills this week.
Yeah.
Oh, this week.
Yes. Okay, gotcha. And it's a huge game for seeding for both teams.
It is, yeah. Yeah.
If Detroit wins, it's over. They're number one seed in the NFC, I think.
We still got to worry about the fucking Vikings. Ugh.
Yeah, they're 10-2 because they got fucking housed by, or they housed the Falcons.
I know, Falcons couldn't cover 12.
Oh, you got to play them.
No, they're terrible. They're a terrible team, and I don't know why you would ever bet on them.
It was 21-21 at one point.
No, don't even leave him alone.
They're awful.
Your goddamn team couldn't even cover for me on a teaser. Are you kidding me? Panthers, against the fucking Panthers?
What did I tell you? The Panthers are a tough out. Why didn't you tease them up to 20?
No, they're not.
Are you kidding me?
I mean,
you get an NFL team with 20 points, you're not going to take that?
No, not the Panthers.
Not the Panthers.
Hey, you know how I said last tough week out. that Kirk Cousins has been averaging 8 pass deflections per game over the past 4 games since they've been losing?
Mm-hmm.
Guess how many pass deflections in this game?
How many?
8.
8 again, and then he 2 more picks on top of
it? He threw a pick in the end zone, too.
Wait, when you say deflections, you mean on the line?
Yeah. I mean pass deflections.
On the line. So not like a corner getting his hand
on it. No.
He's still hurt.
On the line.
Jesus.
He's still hurt.
People are like, oh, that's because of the offensive line. No, it's not. The offensive line, you're not allowed to hold their arms down.
It's Achilles.
You're not allowed to say that.
He has no push on his leg.
No shit. And which is why I said over and over and over again, do not sign a 36-year-old quarterback, give him $180 million, coming off of a torn Achilles.
Well, I mean, in the first year back, he's not going to be good. He's probably going to be good next year.
No, he won't.
The second year after Achilles.
Right now, they're trying to start Penix.
You guys are in the mix still.
They should start Penix.
They're 6-7 because you paid a quarterback $180 million.
No, that doesn't. People don't care about that. But
I do as a fan.
No. I'm saying that fucking the front office doesn't care about that. That what they care about is the fact that they're in the shit. Well, one of the shittiest divisions that exists. So you could still win that division. You can win that division 8-9.
All Arthur Blank cares about is DEI hires, and that is it. He does not care about winning football games. All of this is a shit show, and they got fucking destroyed. Now what? You're going to put the other cripple in there?
You can win that division.
You're going to swap out a younger cripple for an older cripple?
Well, younger cripple is probably better, but you can win that division 8-9.
You could, but they won't, and that's the issue.
Well, Tampa Bay's playing at the Chargers. That's a tough fucking game. They play at the Cowboys. Unclear. That could be a tough game for them as well. Yeah. Then they play the Panthers and the Saints. The Panthers are a tough out right now. They've been a tough out against everybody they played the last 3 weeks.
They're playing better.
They're playing better.
It's probably because people aren't paying any attention
games
to them.
I don't think they've won any of those games.
No, they won't win any games probably, but no. Well, they're 3-10.
They should have beaten the Chiefs.
The 49ers, by the way, was the biggest shocker of the weekend. Absolutely fucking destroying the Bears. With all those injuries, they had a guy named I. Gurrendo, who is now their starting running back.
Yeah, running backs don't matter.
For the team there. It is fucking insane, man. And they beat him by 20 fucking 5 points. Caleb Williams, my God, man.
He was 17 for 23. He got
134
sacked,
yards.
He got sacked. Yeah, that's not his fault. He got sacked 7 times.
7 times
in one fucking game.
Defense.
7
there.
Sacks in a single game is that you cannot blame anybody except for the offensive line for that.
Yeah. And then the Bills, man, that fucks me so bad, dude. Because that all I thought when they lost that game was now the Chiefs don't have to play their last game and that will be it. That will be the nail in my coffin.
Well, we'll know after this weekend. So after the Broncos play the Colts this weekend,
yep.
And if they win that game, which I think they will, I think they're going to win that game, then we're going to go ahead and book our flight to Denver on the 4th of January.
Well,
we'll be there at that game on the 5th.
Here's the other part of this is if they end up finishing with 10 wins, potentially 11, then they're going to have a home game in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So might as well go to the fucking playoffs then at that point, because watching that Chiefs team will be watching a preseason game. They'll have nobody in the game.
We'll be in DC probably for that week.
Okay. But it's
for the Skins.
Because of how bad everybody is, like record wise, a 10 or 11 wins, you probably get a home game in the playoffs this year. So that's it. Man, that fucked me so bad. It's hilarious though. It's all of my usual suspects that fucked me this year. Falcons get destroyed at the Broncos, and then that loser Josh Allen couldn't fucking beat them. I mean, it's just, God damn it, man. Flip on over to Major League Baseball now. Soto, they broke into the game last night. Soto, 15 years, $765 million. None of it deferred.
No. He's got, well, some of it is deferred because he's getting a $75 million tax-free signing bonus this year.
Okay.
So that'll lessen the average annual value of the contract a little bit. After the fourth year, he starts having an opt-out every year, I think. The Mets can end the opt-out by adjusting his AAV, his annual average value of the contract, from $51 to $55 million a year, which, by the way, as far as baseball revenue and value goes, would be if he performs in those first 4 years and doesn't get into one of these, like, I'm paid now slumps that some dudes get into, if he still performs in those first 4 years, they can fucking lock him down for the rest of his career, which they should do, by the way, because his skill set is going to age very well.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to be a DH probably sometime in the next 6 years.
He should DH now. He's not good at defense.
Yeah.
He's terrible at defense. I mean, you gave a guy $765 million who can't play defense.
Yeah.
What's your point? I mean, imagine if you...
That's going to be cheap in like 5 years.
Oh, yeah. So that's the other thing, too, that we always talk about these contracts. It's like, it's crazy now, but then in 5 years, it's...
Yeah, I don't know why the guys want to sign him. Like, to me, if I believe in myself and Juan Soto, the skill set he has, it's a lot like Freddie Freeman. It's an inside-out swing. It's a deep-in-the-count swing. He's got a great... he has a great sense of the strike zone. Maybe the best I've ever seen, actually.
It is Barry like Bonds, stuff, Ted Williams
yeah,
levels.
That stuff doesn't go away. That's stuff that gets better with time, right?
I mean, yeah.
So if I feel like that's my skill set, I'm signing 3 to 5 year deals because to maximize the value of that money.
What's the difference, though, if you make $700 million or a billion? Like in your life?
The B?
The B, yeah.
I get
it's
that.
The B,
but
I guess.
Like, what does your quality of life change much?
Yeah, what if you want to leave, though, right?
No.
That's like who.
But he can leave after 5 years. So it's up to him.
He can't, though, because he doesn't even have to agree to this. The Mets can unilaterally say, we're adjusting you from $51 million a year to $55 million, and now you're stuck here for the rest of the year.
Oh, got it. But let's talk about the Mets as a whole. They've always been a loser organization. Mm-hmm. This was clearly only about money. The Yankees offered a 16-year deal at $760 million, which obviously is an extra, you know, $55 million or whatever it is for that year. But you would have been on the Yankees for the rest of your career versus the Mets.
So allegedly, Cohen helped pitch to Soto. Part of the Cohen's pitch was that they were quite a bit more family friendly on the Mets because Soto had some trouble getting like some people in his family like into games or into the clubhouse.
Dude,
and shit like
I could have helped him get his whole family immigrated here in a month. Should have called me, Juan.
No, it's not that. Into the actual game itself.
Oh, what? Wait, the Yankees aren't giving him tickets?
The Yankees were like being dickholes.
Yankees are hard asses.
Yeah, about something with that, and it like pissed Juan Soto off.
I hope he comes out with a big handlebar fucking mustache next year. I don't even know if he can grow facial hair. It doesn't look like
it. I mean, that's why fucking Cliff Lee left the Yankees to go back to the Phillies, because like his wife was getting harassed by fans.
And, Yeah. And also, in a lot of these contracts, a lot of the big players have suites and all that stuff in their contracts for every single game. And I had heard... You know, giving up a suite for the next 15 years, it's a lot of revenue as well, where you're like, hey, we kind of need those fucking suites.
Right.
But,
yeah.
Well, so here's the other part about this. If the Mets don't sign Pete Alonso or somebody similar to him, then essentially what they've done is paid double the amount of money for the same amount of offensive production plus maybe 5%, which is what, I mean, honestly, that's about what it's been.
Yeah.
Wins above replacement wise. And no defense. Which Pete Alonso is not a great defender, but he plays pretty solid first base.
He doesn't play a premium position either,
so
it's...
Yeah.
But if you couldn't win with Judge, Stanton, and Soto on the same fucking team, how are you going to win on the Mets?
Well, I don't think a guy who takes a 15-year contract for $750 million is worried about winning.
That's it, right?
Certainly not worried about winning year one. And by the way...
But that would worry me.
Already won.
Yeah, he's already got a title in 19.
He's got a ring already.
Oh, that's right, with the Nationals.
He was a fucking rookie, I think, right?
Yeah. It's all gravy after that.
First or second year. As soon as they got Bryce out of there, it was kind of smooth sailing for the Nationals.
It really was.
You're really starting to piss me off.
He's a Philly guy. Unclear. Lindor had a bounce-back season.
He was an MVP candidate.
This year. Unclear if that's sustainable, to be honest. I don't know. A guy that has a dip like that and is... late 20s, early 30s, and then comes back a little bit. usually that fucking regresses pretty quickly.
He's
I think I think that he's always been clutch. I think the Mets are in trouble, to be honest.
I am not worried about the Mets.
Like McNeil's old. It's McNeil's old. Marte's old as fuck. He's hurt every year.
By the way, Alonso not young. He came in. He came in the league at 25.
Yeah, he's old. Yeah.
Yeah. Like he's on the back half of his career.
Bad head hair.
I just my biggest thing with this when this broke last night and the Chiefs came was just like this is a guy that doesn't care about winning. And that's not great.
Well, maybe. Or Cohen is going to – Cohen is, like, seeing what the Dodgers are doing. Is like, look, I committed to this. If we're actually going to win, I got to buy everybody that's available.
Yeah, Soto's won everywhere he's gone, right?
More or less. He's made a World Series with two different teams. The Padres were fine, I guess.
The Mets just always feel cursed.
They are. But here's the thing, though.
Juan Soto's 24 and he's on his fourth team.
Yeah.
He came up at 19.
6 years, four teams, 7 years, I guess, because – it'll be at the start of next year.
It's not his fault that the Nats hit the eject button because they wanted to rebuild. That's not his fault. They traded Soto, Scherzer, everybody back in the day. The Padres, unserious organization, right? They traded for Soto, I believe, and maybe signed him a little bit or something like that.
Yep.
I forget what the situation was.
It ran out of money.
I don't blame him for leaving San Diego.
No.
The Yankees is the only franchise. One that's this choice is the only one that's like a true question mark to me.
Well, I wouldn't stay on a as soon as they announced they were re-signing Aaron Boone, I would have been gone too.
Yeah.
He's a fucking hump, dude. He's a terrible coach.
I don't think the Yankees are a well-run organization. No. And honestly, the Mets, moving forward, the Mets may very well be the better-run organization. Mm. They certainly have deeper pocketbooks than the Yankees now.
Yeah.
Like, unquestionably, they have more money than the Yankees.
Yeah. Yeah, look, Steve Cohen's rich. Very, very rich.
Like, he's a billionaire with a capital B.
Correct. He's got multiple.
Yeah, he's not like Kanye West or even Donald Trump. Like Donald Trump's got, what, $2 billion?
Between two and four, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cohen's like 20, 30 billion. Oh, yeah. I mean,
he's really rich.
And maybe Soto wanted a fucking Spanish-speaking manager, you know?
Maybe.
That actually means something to those guys.
It does.
What do you mean, those guys?
Mexicans.
Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, the old Mexicans.
The Caribbeans.
Before we get out of here, got an NFL game tonight. Bengals at the Cowboys. This is Cincinnati -4.5. Let's go around the horn here. D'Anthony, who you got?
It's hard to say if the Bengals care. Like, I don't know if they're – what are they using this game for? They are out.
I think they're chasing records. I think Burrow – and Chase want to put up just the biggest years they possibly can to go back to management and say, get us a real fucking team, dude.
I'm sure they have incentives.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, Burrow's got, what did he sign for, 260 or 270? Like, it's incentives. Who gives a shit? I just think he loves playing the game. Plus, he's... Are you guys watching that Hard Knocks thing for the division?
I never watched that shit.
I don't watch normal Hard Knocks.
I popped over to it, and I caught a weird conversation with Burrow. He bought the Batmobile for $3 million?
Yeah.
He may as well. Look, if you're not going to win on the field, you got to win off the field. Right?
Well, I mean, look.
Hot girlfriend, Batmobile. You know what? Here, Joe, call us up. We'll get a fucking machine gun put in that Batmobile, a real one.
Yeah.
By the way, Jamar Chase is an unrestricted free agent after next season. So he's under contract on a club option for next season for $21.8 million.
Okay.
And that will be his last year in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Because think about the problems they're having right now with the offensive line. What money do they have? They gave Joe a big contract. Is T. Higgins gone? Because they franchised him.
Yeah, he'll be gone after this year.
He's going to be gone. I mean, we said that last year and they franchised him. I don't think they can. Is this the second year they franchise him or the first?
I don't know.
This would be the second.
If it's the second, then he's gone.
Yeah.
Right? He'll go to wherever. The Chiefs, probably.
Tennessee or something.
Yeah,
right.
Somebody with
Joe
a good quarterback.
Joe Burrow is going to make any receiver.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I would let T. Higgins go and get fucking offensive linemen.
Same.
Burrow and Jamar Chase and two middling running backs and a good offensive line can fucking win.
Yep. I mean, who's Josh Allen's receivers right now?
I don't even know.
Right?
Amari Cooper, and that's it.
But they traded for him in the middle of the year.
Yeah.
Like, it's a lot of these teams.
Coleman from FSU. Is he having a decent season?
Oh, I think he is, actually. The rookie?
Yeah.
I think he is having a fairly decent season. But he's not. These aren't, like, big-name guys. Honestly, if I was the Bengals... Don't even draft offensive linemen. Spend the money on free agent offensive linemen and then draft another wide receiver. Right now, not to toot my own school here, Luther Burden's projected right where the Bengals are drafted. I've seen him projected to the Bengals.
Would you trade Jamar Chase?
No. He's too good.
If he wasn't, I don't even care about how good he is, just for the picks in this year's draft. If there wasn't that relationship between Chase and Burrow that goes back to college, I probably would consider trading him.
Yeah, I would leave Chase.
For a number one pick.
There's a lot of good receivers in this draft.
This is a deep receiver draft.
You got Luther Burden.
I don't even mean for a receiver. All those guys. Trade Jamar Chase for a first round draft pick. Take a receiver and an offensive lineman, one of each, right? That wouldn't be a horrible idea, to be honest.
Man, he's also, they're best friends in real life.
Yeah, that's why you can't. I wouldn't risk it. That's why you can't.
I wouldn't risk it. Who are you taking in tonight's game? Cincy minus 4.5.
Yeah, I'll take the Bengals. Look, and the over might be attractive here too. Cincinnati's fucking defense sucks. The Cowboys defense has shown that they're not even like trying at this point, except for maybe Michael Parsons. This is going to be, I think this is like a 34-30 game or something like that.
Yeah, I bet it's.
I don't know about the spread. It could go either way because they both do have, they have the potential to blow up offensively. Either one of them can, right? Even with Cooper Rush at quarterback. So, yeah, I'm taking the over 49.5. I'm not even going to tease it.
Okay. Delco.
Give me the Bengals. Big.
Yeah. Bigly? Bigly.
You taking points, the over?
No, I'll just take the Bengals.
Okay.
I like the over. I like the over. My tease, I actually had a tease down just for shits and gigs, but your Dan's Eagles ruined that for me. So
thanks a lot.
Still rooting for the over.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fucking losers.
Suck it, bitch.
Absolutely do. Yeah, I'm going Bengals as well in this one, and I'll do something with that over and tease both of these because I think when I said earlier it was going to be a fun game, I'm with you guys. I think it's like 34-30, something crazy, high scoring. Bengals have zero defense whatsoever on the planet, so yeah. But it should be a fun game to watch at least, and I'll definitely be gambling on it. Join us over on Patreon. We'll be live here in 10 minutes for Drinking Bros Fake News. They found the hot assassin. We'll get into that. Luigi. So join us over there on Drinking Bros Podcast. Patreon, be live in 10 minutes. Don't forget to rate this show a 5-star and leave a quick review on iTunes. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star and you can walk away. For Dan the Anthony Holloway, Delco Dan, Hot Bob, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Monday Morning Recap. Good morning, everyone.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.